Well, some of you may know that the Bruce family this year had a bit of a contrasting holiday. We had some fantastic times up in the mountains. There's a little picture of them on our little mountain scooters, which were great fun, enjoying God's beautiful creation. But then we had a little bit of a traumatic end to our holiday, as our last night in Austria involved a rather nasty accident in a swimming pool. Air ambulance trip, a late night trip to Innsbruck A&E to get a tooth put back in. And I'll not go into any more of the gory details. I certainly don't have any photographs to show you because we didn't take any. But after getting home at 1 o'clock that morning and getting up early the next morning to pack our things to get out quickly, I must admit we were still in quite a bit of shock. And my head was just full of imagining all the potential consequences and ramifications of what had happened and feeling pretty overwhelmed by it all. And as I pulled out my bag to pack my stuff in, I found in it, the empty bag inside, something that I'd never seen before and had no idea where it came from. But it was this. It was a little badge, a little red badge with, you probably can't see it there, but the word hope on. There in the bag was a little badge with the word hope. And I must admit, at the time, that morning, as I sat there feeling exhausted and really overwhelmed and still in a bit of trauma, let alone the rest of the family, it felt such a great message of God for us. That in our little 24 hours episodes, God was there saying, you know, it's going to be okay. I'm on the case. Trust me. Hold firm. For us, it was a ray of hope shining in the temporary darkness. And, you know, God just did really come through in amazing ways. We have a great testimony of how just a few phone calls on the ferry coming home. Sue Hornby, bless her, put us in touch with an amazing dental consultant who we managed to get a treatment at 8:45 the morning we came back, who sourced it all out. And so great news, God's faithfulness. And it's just another lovely thing of being in the church family, isn't it, where we can support each other and provide for each other at those times. And God is faithful. But what's all this got to do with 1 Peter? Well, I want to say that 1 Peter, more than anything, is a letter of hope. A letter of hope. It's a letter written by Peter, the former fisherman and Jesus' disciple, to believers in the churches scattered in modern-day Turkey. Those believers there were facing some really extreme persecution and suffering for being Christians. There was probably written around the sort of mid-60s AD in the time of Emperor Nero, where actually amongst other things, and you can just about see on this picture, that actually it was reported that Nero used to tie the Christians up on sort of poles in the streets and set them alight to burn, to provide street lighting, amongst other things. Some horrific, horrific stories of what those early Christians went through. So these are some of the things that actually Peter is writing to these people. But those people also face significant suffering also from fellow citizens as pagan society began to despise Christians for their radical and very different lifestyle. And that's why here Peter describes them in verse 1 as strangers in the world. They were in the world, but not of this world. Because their Christian lifestyles made them different, distinct from the world around them, and susceptible to great discrimination and abuse. And just imagine what it must have been like for those first believers, just going through some of that stuff. I mean, what would you have been thinking? What would have been going through your mind if you had been them? You know, I'm sure they were asking those challenging questions which we can ask in those real times of struggle. Where's God? Is this really worth it? Is it all true? Can I really go on like this? Or shall I just compromise or even just give up the faith entirely? You know, that must have been going through some of their minds. And it's into that context that Peter's writing. Not so much to point them to a tiny little badge saying hope, but more to point them to a gigantic rock, which he's saying, this is the rock of hope. Cling on to it. This is the sure and certain rock of hope that is Jesus and the truth in these circumstances. You know, he's saying to them, he's saying, look up and look beyond, not to simply focus on the troubles and struggles, but to look up to God and look to what is far beyond, to keep their eyes fixed on that in their time of trouble and distress. And he's saying, stand firm, be faithful, hold on to truth, keep going in your struggles and suffering, for there is an amazing hope. Right at the end of his letter in chapter 5, 12, virtually is the letter that summarizes the whole letter. He says, I've written to encourage you and to bear witness that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. And I wonder if that is what many of us need to hear this morning for our own lives. Hold on to the rock of hope. Keep going. Look up, look beyond and keep standing firm despite your difficulties and struggles. Hold on to the truth of the gospel. Hold on to the good news. Whilst we may not be facing the persecution of those early Christians or some of the horrific persecution indeed that still takes place today. And you know, I'm really grateful for David Ritchie and for others and for Kay particularly, who's pointed us to say we need to support Open Doors as a mission organization who are working particularly to support the persecuted church. Many Christians around the world who suffer such similar situations as these first Christians that Peter was writing to in. We may not be dealing with persecution like that, but as I look round here in church this morning, as I'm aware of different members of our congregation, you know, I'm aware so many are going through trials and difficulties and struggles and are facing those things at this time. And it's hard. Many are facing bereavements, just sad losses of people that they loved. Many struggles with illness, financial difficulties, family issues, depression, anxiety. You know, life so often is hard, isn't it? And becoming a Christian, sadly, doesn't make all those things go away. It doesn't make you immune to those things. In some ways, actually, sometimes being a Christian, you're facing even more struggles on top of the struggles that everyone else faces. And on top of all that, increasingly, I think we as Christians in this country live as strangers in this post-Christian world too, where perhaps in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your places of leisure, actually, you find yourself isolated, maybe even discriminated for living differently, for having different moral values and perspectives to society around us. And add to that those uncertain times that we're living in, with the lack of hope politically and nationally, especially with the uncertainty of Brexit. Bless Boris. We need to pray for him. We really do. That is such a time of uncertainty and hopelessness in our country. And I think in all of this, it can be so easy to get bogged down in our struggles, in our suffering, in the challenges of life, that we can forget to look up, to look beyond. We can lose sight of the truth. But it's the truth which will sustain us. It's that which will keep us going. It's that which will help us hold firm. For the amazing news of the gospel and the amazing news of this passage here is that whatever our circumstances, whatever life throws at you, that there's always hope, always a living hope that we can turn to. And Peter unpacks some of that here, and I'd love you to turn to it on page 1217. We're going to just have a look at some of those things that he talks about now. But in order to understand perhaps what hope brings, it's perhaps helpful to think about the opposite, to think about actually what does hopelessness look like? Well, just here are three things which I was pondering. Firstly, I think sometimes actually it can mean that we feel a loss of identity and self-worth. We can perhaps find ourselves lacking in confidence of who we are, perhaps feeling worthless. We can find ourselves just in this moment feeling helpless, powerless, weak, alone. And as we look to the future, we see a future which is bleak and dark, which seems to have no light. You know, that's so often what hopelessness can bring. And you know, I think the disciple Peter knows, and he can speak confidently about hope because he knew a lot about hopelessness. If you just think about the time when he betrayed Jesus, that moment when Jesus was on trial, and then when he saw Jesus die the next day, he had betrayed Jesus, he'd run away, his whole future had just disintegrated in front of him. At that moment, he must have been feeling all of those things, feeling a failure, feeling just it was helpless in the present, feeling that actually the future was just lacking any hope. But then, of course, 3 days later, it all changed, didn't it? That event in history which changed everything, that event in history which meant that actually we never need to be without hope again. And Peter talks about it here in verse 3. He talks about it, the resurrection of Jesus. You see, it's the resurrection of Jesus which declares to the world above everything else that we have hope, that we can have what Peter describes here as a living hope. And just to say, that word hope in this context means much more than what we generally use the word hope for. You know, I can say I hope Spurs will win the Premier League. But I know deep down in my heart that that's just an unlikely pipe dream from a faithful Spurs supporter for many years. But that's not the sort of hope that actually here is being talked about. It's not the hope that the New Testament talks about. It's not the hope that Peter's talking about here. He's not talking about a dreamy, it might happen, it might not hope. He's talking about hope which is sure and certain. For Christian, hope is about having the assurance of the future that God has promised. It's about actually those truths, it's holding on to those truths, it's the promise of those truths that God has given us to look forward to and to be confident about. So let's have a look. How does the good news of the gospel bring hope to us? Well, I want to just suggest three things, particularly this morning, which just counteract some of these things from hopelessness. You see, first of all, I think it tells us that actually we're not insignificant, but we're saved and that we're chosen by God for a purpose. Have a look at verse 2. He writes, "You've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." You know, if we're believers, we are chosen people, chosen before the beginning of time, chosen by the Almighty God, the creator of the whole cosmos. He's chosen us. We're significant to him. We're special to him. And not only that, but it goes on that actually God is at work in us by his Spirit, sanctifying us, setting us apart, making us holy. And that's what we'll hear a little bit more about next week. And it goes on that we've been given a purpose to be obedient to Jesus. That's what our calling is as chosen people, to be obedient to Jesus, to live our lives following his way, following his direction, to join in with him in transforming this broken world. You know, Christian hope, it says we're not worthless. But it gives us an identity with significance. We're made for a purpose. And where hopelessness makes us feel helpless, powerless and weak on our own, you know, what hope does is Peter talks here about our living hope, which declares that we're not on our own, but we have a living hope, which means that we have strength for the present. You know, the resurrection of Jesus declared that Jesus was who he said he was. It proclaimed the truth of the gospel. It proclaimed the power of God. The resurrection declares that Jesus is alive and that he's with us by his Spirit. That's what Peter experienced for himself after Pentecost. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, which gave him power, which sustained him, which strengthened him, which enabled him to stand firm and hold on to the truth despite extreme suffering. And that is the Spirit of God that we can know too in our suffering and in our struggles. In verse 5, Peter says that we're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is to be revealed. You know, it's that sense of actually God puts a shield in front of us to hold us firm, to keep us safe, to protect us, to protect the salvation that he's given us. I've been dwelling in a couple of lovely verses this week elsewhere in the Bible which speak of the presence of God bringing us hope in the presence. Isaiah 40, those lovely verses at the end of Isaiah 40, but particularly verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. When our hope is in God, he will renew our strength. And then this lovely verse, this lovely prayer from the end of Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the resurrection declares that we have a living God who gives us a living hope, who's shielding us by his power, who's ready and waiting to strengthen us and give us a joy and a peace, even in the most severe of circumstances. That's why Peter talks here in verses 6 and 8, where he talks about rejoicing still in the midst of trials. And you know, that's throughout the Bible. We see this thing of actually still in the midst of tough times, saying, I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to be thankful anyway. I'm going to rejoice anyway. And it's God's Spirit who gives us the power to rejoice even in tough times. That he gives us a joy and a peace which is beyond anything that the world can give. It's not an artificial joy which simply masks the reality of the present troubles. But it's a deep joy and a deep peace which transcends the struggles and the suffering. You know, that's what we're going to invite people to just receive later in a time of ministry. But God brings strength. A God of hope brings strength and peace and joy in our struggles. And finally, lost my clicker. Hope declares that your future is not bleak, but that we have an amazing inheritance waiting for us. More than anything, you know, Peter says here, says, keep going, keep standing firm, because what is ahead, your final destiny, will far outweigh the present struggles. Verse 4, he says, he's given us new birth into an inheritance which can never perish, spoil, or fade. He's, of course, talking about the hope of eternal life. The promise of God that one day everything will be restored and put right for all of eternity in that new heaven and the new earth. The promise that one day suffering and evil and pain and struggle for those who know and love Jesus will be over forever. You see, the resurrection declared that death was defeated. It declared that the power of evil and suffering and pain was broken once and for all. And in Revelation 21, we get that wonderful glimpse of it, don't we? Where it beautifully describes how God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Where there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away. You know, this is the promise. This is the hope that we have as Christians. As those who've said yes to Jesus, that's our amazing inheritance. Tomorrow we will have Andrea's funeral service, his Thanksgiving service here at St. Andrew's. And it's going to be a sad time for many, and we particularly continue to pray for Peter and the family. But in the midst of that sadness, we just hear those words of 1 Thessalonians 4. We do not need to grieve as those who have no hope. For just as Jesus was risen from the dead, we too will one day have resurrected bodies. Andrea too is knowing the reality of that now. That actually this future inheritance is there and is promised. And therefore we do not need to grieve for those who have no hope. You know, it doesn't answer all our questions, all the difficult questions about suffering. It doesn't answer the question of why God allows it, why there's so much of it, why life is so hard for some. But it does, I think, allow us to stand with integrity in that place and to trust with sure and certain hope what is beyond. The theologian Alastair McGrath said this, said, if the Christian hope of heaven is an illusion based on lies, then it must be abandoned as misleading and deceitful. But if it is true, it must be embraced and allowed to transfigure our entire understanding of the place of suffering in our life. You know, even in the darkest place, even in the midst of suffering, the Christian faith proclaims great hope. Hope that says that you are significant, you are chosen, you have a purpose. Hope that says that the living God, the risen Jesus, is with you in the midst of it and can give you joy and peace to strengthen and uphold you. Hope that declares that God is preparing for us an incredible future, an incredible heavenly home where everything will be restored and put right for all eternity. This is the hope that we can have as Christians. So if times are tough for you today, if God's message for you this morning is stand firm. Don't give up. Trust in your living hope. And if today you're here and you don't know this hope we've been talking about, if you're here today and you haven't yet said yes to following Jesus, if you never responded to his call, that God's inviting you today to come and join him, to come and know this hope in the present and hope in the future for yourself. He wants to give you his joy, his strength, his peace. He wants to invite you into a new life of sure and certain hope. You know, if that's you, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you at the end today if you'd like to find out more. But just for all of us, you know, I'd love to finish with a prayer. And I'd like to invite the band to come up as we're going to sing in a moment about the living hope. But just would you stand if you're able? And just let's allow God, the God of all hope, to meet with us and minister with us. And maybe just if you are in a tough place today, or if you have a family member or a friend or are really burdened by that, the tough place they're in, that just God wants to really remind you of his hope. And I want to pray this words of Romans 15:13 over all of us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's answering already. We're going to sing of that living hope now, and then we're going to sing that that verse right at the end as a blessing on all of us. But as we just sing this song, which is called Living Hope, just be whatever you need to be. Maybe actually you need to just offer your prayers, offer your situations to God. Maybe actually you need to turn to someone and ask them to pray for you as we sing this. Maybe just want to be still and just be with God in this place. Let's just allow God to minister to us as we sing.